Oh, well, I'll just start with the first verse, I guess, 13, Matthew. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And the great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into his ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So I've wondered a lot in my life, my saved life, I've wondered, why is it that some people seem to be able to be successful serving the Lord, and others not successful? Why can one brother, I'm talking natural brothers, why can one brother seem like he can get a hold of it and another one can't? Or why does one sister get a hold of it and the other one can't? And I thought about it, and this kind of gives the answer to all those questions, really, when you think about it. Because it gives the scenarios of, and it does it in a way that puts the responsibility on us. It gives us the information. So if we can understand this, then we can understand that there's things that's dangerous to us that we're going to need to try to fix. Like, for instance, he talks about the among thorns. Well, what do you do about that? Well, there's going to have to be an active process to get the thorns out of your life, because the consequence is already mentioned. We know what the consequence will be. It'll be choked. You can't keep from being choked if you keep thorns in your life. So you're going to have to not get thorns in your life. Why the overall answer is that one person would want to do that and others, I don't know. Excuse me. I like to garden, and I was trying to, I had some, put some heels there in the garden to hold up these heels, and I, different ones, and I put some zucchini in one, and I put some, all some other kind of squash, like butternut squash in other ones, and had cucumbers in other ones, and I put the seeds in there, and I watered it good, and I kept waiting for the seeds to come up, and the plants, nothing come up. And so after a while, I realized it's been too long, something's happened, I better plant it again. So I planted it a second time. I put the different things in there, and I watered it and soaked it in, and waited, and nothing ever come up. So by the third time this happened, I'm like, what is happening? Something's happening and going on here that I need to deal with. And so the third time I put it in there, and this time I got to noticing what was actually happening, and it's been very hot and very little rain, and I was giving the seeds enough water to sprout them, but they didn't have enough water because they were in heels, and it's been very dry, and my garden is very, very, very draining. It doesn't have a lot of stuff to it. It's more sandy over there. and there's nothing to keep the moisture much, and so I was giving the seeds enough water to sprout them, and as soon as they sprouted, the ground was drying out, and it was completely scorching them until they wasn't coming up. So the next time, I put a mulch over them, a good mulch that kept moisture in, and within only about 2 days, 3 days, my seeds start, everything started coming up through there, and so that was a kind of a lesson. That was kind of a lesson for me to learn there. This scripture says that the sower went forth and he sowed. And the particular one I want to think about today, it says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And that's what I want to focus today on is deepness of earth. And I probably won't keep us too long today, but I want to make this expression because this seems so vivid to me that of what he's talking about there, because they didn't have deepness of earth. When the sun came up, it scorched them. And this speaks of the desires, the desire that we have. How much do we want this is what it's talking about, that deepness of earth. How much do we want this? How much effort will we put out to be able, because when this seed sprouts, and because there, it doesn't have any place to put its roots, it doesn't have any growing room. And because of that, it speaks of this, that there needs to be a deepness of earth, a desire, a real desire to find God from the beginning of the gospel plan, from the beginning of God's plan for humanity. Half-heartedness never worked. Never worked. In the beginning, when Cain and Abel made the first sacrifices mentioned in the Bible, Abel had deepness of earth. He had a care above his earthly existence because he took the best things he had and offered it. He was willing to sacrifice the best animal he had. He was willing to give the best that he had. He had deepness of earth about his life and a care for God that he sacrificed the best he had. And from the beginning, Cain had no deepness of earth. He was religious. He was religious, or he wouldn't have made a sacrifice. There was something that compelled him to sacrifice. There was something that made him a part, like the seed. There was a seed that sprouted, but there was things in its way. His self. It's talking about the stones that's in the way of depthness. You got a deepness. You're going to have to take it out. Take the stones out. The sower sows, but there's places. There's places that it looks like it's beneficial. So there's a seed. It sprouts. It grows. It comes up. You have hope for it. But there's not enough care. There's not enough desire to propel it into ever producing fruit. And so, and same goes for our life, and I think it's true, and it will always be true, that unless we have the desire, sometimes when we see our desire getting less, we need to pray that the Lord would help our desire to do that. That God would help us to make the commitments and stick to the commitments and to do the things. Are obvious when we say service is important. I mean your local service. This isn't by the will of men that there's a local service. It isn't by the will of men that Sunday's the day. You can go back and find it established by God that this is the way that He would set up for a worship system. So it's not just the will of man. God says, the Bible says things like, instead of saying you have to show up every time the door is open, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that that you're going to be lost if you don't pray in the morning. It doesn't say those kind of things. But it gives us this idea. It says not to forsake the assembling of yourself. God always is dealing with the heart matter. God wants you to come. God wants you to come to service because you find value in it, because you want to get something out of it. God wants you to pray because you find value in prayer. God wants you to serve Him because the relationship that you have with Him is valuable, not because He puts some kind of restraint on you to do it. It's the same way it's been mentioned many times among us, but I think one of Brother Bennett mentioned it, that he wanted his wife to stay with him because she loved him, not because he put a chain around her leg and tied her to the bedpost. Well, of course, we don't want a relationship. We don't say, well, I've got a wife. You can say that. I got a chain on her and she can't go anywhere. She'd leave if she could, and that's why I put a chain on her. No, God wants the bounds to be a heart bound. He wants us to be heart bound to Him, and that's why He deals with us the way He does, and He wants us to have a depths of earth. He wants us to want this. He wants us to have depths about it. And He says it in here in such a bad way. Why is it that some, when pressure comes, they dry up? Why is it when temptation comes, why do they dry up? They dry up because they don't have no depths in their life building up to that. God wants us to have depths of life about this, so that when the things come into our life, these things are settled. The sister that was here testified. What's her name? Irene? I forget what her name. The older lady. We met her in Alabama. But she testified to us out there that she had been saved for 70 years or something. Huh? Yeah. She said that in 70 years that she never, never had a thought about turning away from the Lord. She never had a thought that she wouldn't serve the Lord. And I said, that's a good testimony. That's quite a testimony to be able to say, this works for me. But what causes it to work? It wasn't stony ground that caused it. It was getting some stones out of the ground that caused it. It was about having some depths in there, and it's about getting into it. So if I may suggest this, you all have mercy, but if I may suggest this, get into it. Now, I'm not the Holy Ghost. Not pretend to be. I'm the guy that gets up here, talks to you, though. Get into it. Pray at service if the Lord leads. You say, well, the Lord never leads me. Give Him a chance to. Give Him a chance to have depth. Give God a chance to develop your life. Young people, if you're interested in serving the Lord, step out into the water. Ankle water deep's fun you can get your feet in it and wade. It's good for a little while, but it ain't very satisfying over the length of life. You're gonna need deeper water than that. There's a reason why it gets boring. There's a reason why living for God gets boring. Because living for God is not supposed to be boring. God isn't boring. Jesus isn't boring, and what He did isn't boring. When you get into it, you find it fascinating. You find richness in it. But if you don't get into it and really give yourself to it, you don't find that. What you find is religion. And religion isn't very valuable. Religion is what you can just give a solace to yourself because you can go away with some kind of hope now. If something happens to me, at least I've got a hope. But there's no joy in life with it. There's no and also when this is the way the Lord said it in what, the 7th chapter of Matthew. He said, I like everyone that does these words of mine. He hears them and does these words, puts them into action. I'm going to liken him to a man that builds a house. And he builds it,
And I add to it, but he builds to it. He digs into the earth. He digs down till he hits something solid, and he builds on that. He puts a foundation down. He works at it. He puts a foundation, and he goes down till he gets on the rock, and he builds a house on that. And the storms come now. See, that's the given. I'll make a bold prediction. Everybody in here is going to have a storm in their life. You're going to face the storms. And some of them are going to be predicted and you can see them coming. And you're going to turn around and they're going to be on you. But the storms come to everybody. And the storm came and the winds blew and the rains beat upon it. And it stood. It stood because it was founded on a rock, because it had depths to it, and it made it. He said, I will liken everyone that hears these words of mine, forgets these words, don't do them. I'm going to liken you to a man that he builds a house to. In my mind, they're brick houses. And to mine, they're not very far apart. And in my mind, you look and you see, and they look exactly the same. That's the way I see this, what he was talking about. They look exactly the same to me. And they look exactly the same to everybody else. Except one of them was not dug down. One of them is sitting on the sand. But they look the same. But the storm comes and reveals them. When the storm comes, then the house don't stand. And he says, great is the fall of that house. And why does that house, now it makes sense to me, why does somebody get it and somebody else don't get it? Why does somebody seem to have all that it is supposed to be? They're supposed to, they look like they have it. They look like they're the facade. They're the house. They look the same as the other one does. And but the storm and the temptations and the trials come when the sun comes up. One plant is over here and the sun only makes it better. Plants need sunshine. And the sun to this plant makes it, just develops it. And the other one withers and dies. And it's because there was no depths of earth. There was no depths to get into it. There was no, I'm really into this. I can look back at my life and see this so vividly to the indifferent attitudes that people have held about serving the Lord. They can do it because everybody around them is doing it. My family's in this, so why don't I be in it? Do you know just your family in there is not enough to hold you in the time of trouble? Do you know just because this is grandma and grandpa's religion isn't enough to make it profitable to you? I can, as long as I sit and listen, I'm going to tell you something. This isn't a spectator sport. This isn't something to where that I'm supposed to take in the information from everybody else and I'm not involved. You don't have to be a public figure. I'm not going to insist on it. God doesn't. I'm not insisting on it. But you know, if nothing else, there needs to be prayer warriors. There needs to be, it doesn't, whatever it is and that God calls you to in your life, there needs to be a deepness of earth. And because there's a lackness of deepness of earth, this is what happens, that congregations fail. Because what happens is, in life, is that we're humans. And in humans, you're going to have conflicts sometimes. And sometimes you have personality disagreements and you have that kind of stuff. And if you don't have deepness of earth, to where you've rooted down deep. See, the reason for a root system, I'm watching closely because I have this habit. I got my pump right out in the creek, and so it's really easy for me to plug it in, and just in minutes I can just water my garden. Do you know you can overwater a garden? Now, corn, for instance, is an amazing thing. I was watching it the other day. Corn's just amazing. God developed corn that it has these leaves that when it starts getting low on water in the roots, the plant starts to, and it'll make these, like, I don't know if you ever see corn drawing up. That's the blades of that corn. And I watched this. I'd spray this mist over them. The mist would form on the leaves of the corn, and they'd funnel right down, and all the water would run right down into the stalk, right down into where it needed it. God made it to do that. But if it's never stressed, if the root system is not stressed on it, same thing for tomatoes or anything, what happens is, like, if I would water every day, twice a day, I'd water all my stuff. The plant roots wouldn't need to reach out for it. If I gave it plenty of nutrients, I gave it plenty of water, then the root systems would stay really close. Then when I go to Monarch and don't water it for 10 days, if it was dry, I'd kill the plant. Because it has no roots. It has no depth of earth. Its roots hasn't created, went out. You can water them too much. You should water them, but only water them enough till they're seeking for more moisture and more nutrients and more than that. Do you know it's the same way living for the Lord? The Lord wants us to build a root system. Now there's a rift. And there will be rifts. There'll be rifts in your family. There'll be rifts in the community. There are going to be rifts sometimes in congregations. God forbid it that it happened to us, but sometimes those things happen. And what happens to people that don't have the root system, the abilities to that where they've connected, because you know what we're supposed to be able to do? We're supposed to be able to commit it to God, even if we're the ones that's at the brunt of injustice. You can't do that without a depth of earth. You have to be exercised. You have to be exercised in it. Given to it. Yeah, I've been stressed at this. I'm not getting enough. I'm stretching myself out. Trying to find more and more of God. So, I say to all of us, but I'm thinking to the younger ones too, apply yourself to the things of God. Step out. Step out into what God wants you to do. I remember how hard it was for me 30 years ago to pray out in service. Can I tell you, it's not hard now at all. It's not hard for me to pray before meals for big crowds. It's not hard for me to pray at weddings or funerals. It's not hard for me to pray at all anymore. And it one time was, but I exercised it. You have to exercise yourself to it. The old devil's going to, on there, the devil don't want no depths. I'm going to say there's going to have to be some depths. I appreciate, I remember one time I said to my son-in-law, I said something about, you know, it sure is a shame that all of this singing talent isn't wholeheartedly given to the Lord. You got talent. There's places to bless with that talent. And again, I'm not the Holy Ghost for any particular time to tell you that you ought to go do anything. I'm just telling you that there's a gift there. And I said to him, I said to my son-in-law, I said, it sure is a shame that it isn't been used. And he said, well, I want to sing, but nobody will sing with me. I said, duh. Ain't nobody up here helping me. I'm here by myself. Standing up here by myself. Do you know, I really appreciate, I like the harmonies. I like the beautiful singing of harmony. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a deepness of earth. The sister that came up from North Carolina, I appreciated her singing, getting up there and singing by herself. She got up and she sung, and I was blessed by her getting up and singing. The young man from Dallas that gets up by himself and sings. I'm not saying you have to give up yourself by yourself. I'm saying there's some depth there to them. They want to exercise. They want to, I got something and I want to exercise it to the Lord. I want to give it to the Lord. In the proper place, of course, and without arrogancy, of course, but I have something and I want to give it to the Lord. And if it's hard, it gets easier. And I grow deeper roots because of it. When we testify, they overcome, Revelations, it said, and they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love their life to death. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is important. It's important for others to hear and to encourage, of course, but do you know it's more important to you? You will solidify your own experience by telling it. You'll believe it more. It's just the way it is. You will believe your own words when you say them. You will convince your own heart when you stand up and say, by the grace of God, I am saved. You'll be stronger for doing it. And when you stand up and say, and the devil is telling me God didn't do nothing for me, but I'm telling you, God did protect me when the Lord did come down. The Lord did protect me no matter. You know, you're convinced more by that the Lord did it when you get through saying it than you did before you said it. You, our own testimony, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony was empowering to them. The more they told it. Now wait a minute. The old devil's telling me that you ain't really saved. And I'm saying, I'm going to stand up and say, yes, I am. And after a while, he flees and quits saying that. It says that because they had no deepness of earth, they never plowed, they never tilled. They never dug, they never removed stones. They never cleared the brush back. They never had deep roots that went all the way in to the, they found sources. They found the Word of God to be true. I remember years ago how enlightened I was when I got my neighbor's, it was the scripture that said, a soft answer, turn away wrath. And I remember that I took my dog and I forget what that dog, his name was Rusty, I think. But boy, was that some dog. He was always in trouble. But I kept him pinned, but I took him for a walk one day, and we lived on the outskirts of Webster Springs, so we had him, I went up in the woods, but when he come back down, of course, when he come back down off that hill, he had to go find some trouble to get into. And so he went down, and there was a big dog fight down there. My dog was in a fight down there. And so the neighbors was there, and they come out, and my dog ended up running off. And one time I got down there, the dog was gone, but they was down there, and the neighbors was, they was so mad at me, and they was wanting to fight and all this, and their dog was chewed up and all this stuff, they was really mad. That was a fighting family too. Boy, they was known to fight, and they was out there, and they was just giving it to me. And I started apologizing to them and telling them, "Hey, listen, if your dog's hurt, let's get the vet. I'll pay for it," and all this kind of stuff. And you know, they could have fought, but they couldn't take the humility. You know, that still stays in my mind as something that the God witnessed to me. As a tool, not everybody responded to me in life that way. But I'm going to tell you, that was such a valuable thing to me that in my life, that when things would start getting, I would use that. I used to use it at the gym up there when people would get hot with basketball. I'd just come in with a calm and start, and I could calm the things down. There was something real about that happened that, and this is what I'm talking about. If we don't live in this place, there's never no deepness of earth. There's never nothing deep. When we live for God and say, it's all about God. Everything that we do is worthy of that. God isn't everything. But we allow that. I'm not talking about being radical, but I'm talking about growing in the graces of God and allowing God to be able to speak to us. Brother Jim had an accident over there. I still remember his testimony. He ran into the back of somebody's car over there. They stopped real quick and he ran into the back of it. He said, I went to go to Elkins. I had a wreck and made friends. He was so persuasive and such a gentle that they actually invited him to supper. His car was tore up. He runs into them and they invite him to supper. And I'm almost positive they was friends for the rest of his life. That was kind of the end of his life. But he took the opportunity. He had deepness of earth. This was about God too. This moment was about God too. I just met souls here. This was about God. Yeah, he was at fault. It's the way God worked it. He was at fault. And he humbled himself at being at fault. And they invited him and he made lifelong friends. He had some deepness of earth about him. We should live for God with passion and desire. When it starts running down, what we're going to end up with, we're end up either going to go away, as many do, or we're going to be miserable doing what we're doing. And it's not going to be fun and enjoyable. And I'm going to tell you what at the end of this is. You don't convince your children, grandchildren, neighbors, nieces, uncles, nephews. You don't convince anybody that this is worth doing when that's all you got. If there's no deepness of earth, some of you here, not very many, Sister Karen, Sister Gwenny, Mansell, Brother Mansell, maybe Brother Keith, remember my grandmother. But my grandmother stood most of her life by herself. And I would say that she had deepness of earth because she would stand. She would stand for the Lord in any situation. She would be faithful when nobody else around her was living for the Lord. My grandmother would be faithful anyway. And my grandmother would pray when grandmother prayed, and it didn't matter who was there. My grandmother would pray. My grandmother stood for the Lord when she was the only one looking that way. The community around her and the people around her many times thought that she was some kind of a weirdo about it, but my grandmother served the Lord anyway because she had some deepness about her. Her passion and her desire, I'm going to tell you right now, you did not go to my grandmother's house almost never without her mentioning something about the Lord. She had a deepness of earth about her that held her, that when it come down to her final days, it wasn't hard for her to lift her hand. She did. She raised her hand and said to me, Marty, I'm so tired and I just want to go home. She didn't kick it. She didn't fight it. She just said, I am tired and I want to go home. I'm ready to go. She had deepness. It's deepness. And we don't get deep. You're not going to say, well, that was a pretty good message this morning. I'm going to be deep this evening. Oh, I'm deep now. I'm just deep. Deep don't get that way. Deep is the progression of digging. Deep is progression of getting things out of your way. You're not going to get deep in the Lord by bombarding yourself with the world. You're not going to get deep in that way. You're not going to have deepness of earth but by putting everything else before the Lord. Sure, this God made a wonderful world for us to live in and to enjoy. And there's fishing and hunting and enjoying the things. And anything that's not perverse or bad, I say you can enjoy it, but you can't enjoy it first. You got to enjoy it after the things of God. God should be the passion of our life, the deepness of our life in God. We want to have God. This is what makes it work. This is why we can stand in there. So I want to recommend it to you. If God gives you something, explore what gives. Care. Have a care about it. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to use my voice? Is this okay? To say, do you want me to use my voice to sing? Do you want me to use my feet to go do something? What are you calling me? for? What do you want? Well, I'll do it if the Lord comes by. I'm talking about being proactive about it. This is what the successful people did. Daniel had deepness of earth. He didn't try to shadow or he went and prayed like he always did. David had a deepness of earth about him. Because there come a time, because he had expanded himself and willing to take on a lion and a bear, willing to keep his mind in God. There come a time that he fought the giant, and he fought the giant because he had deepness of earth. He was able to go and do it. All of the successful people in the Bible had a care. Plain and simple, they had a care. You don't have to be an Einstein. You don't have to be have a great IQ to understand this thing. Being successful isn't educated. It is not education. It is not strength. It is not powers. I would call Brother Sam as a very successful, those that knew him would say he's a very successful man in the Lord. And he was not successful because he had a good education. You know what? From the time I met him and the testimony I heard about his beginnings in the Lord, all the way to the end, there was something that was obvious about Brother Sammons. He cared a lot. He gave himself to something. He cared a lot about it. And he gave himself wholeheartedly. He gave himself wholeheartedly to it. God took this ignorant old Eastern Kentucky guy without an education and gave him the power of his spirit until he could preach the altars full. He had a gift about him that God gave it to him, and he had why he got to where he was and had an understanding about things. I remember the college educated people that would call Brother Sammons to get counseling from him, a guy that didn't even finish high school. I don't know if he started high school. And they would ask him for advice. It's because he had deepness. It's because he got something from God. So I just want to encourage us today that if all of this tells a story, it tells the whys of the failures. No deepness of earth. When the trials and temptations and the sun's starts glaring down, you're going to dry up. Unless, I wonder, what do you think might happen in the next 10, 15, 20, 25 years? Well, a lot of us won't be here, but what do you think is going to happen to the society or could happen to the society in the next decades at the progression that it's gone now? I pray that you all be here going to have that you have some deepness of earth, because if you don't, you're going to dry up under the withering of it, because it seems to me like it's going awfully fast now. So we need this. Lord, help us today. If you lack the care, I can remember years ago, it was very vivid to me. I can remember coming here to service, and I used to sit right over there. And to come to service, and I can remember saying, I made myself come to service today, and I'm here. And I thought back of the years before about how I just could not wait to get here. I just loved when the singing started. I loved to hear what the Lord had. I just loved to hear the Sunday school. I just loved it. Was drinking it in. And I sat over there thinking, I made myself come to service today, and I didn't really want to be here. And I said, I need help. And I put a request in for myself that day. Would you all pray that the Lord would light the fire back? Kindle it back, because I don't want to just come here and be miserable. I want to have something that's working in my life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.